Radio Prague News.
The Prague branch of the Junior Coalition Party Public Affairs has called on party leader Radek Jón to resign. The state attorney in the highly publicized corruption trial of Public Affairs Deputy Vít Bárta has proposed a suspended sentence for the politician. And the opposition Social Democrats are against the idea of scrapping the ministries of culture and environment. The Prague branch of the Junior Coalition Party Public Affairs has called on party leader Radek Jón to resign. They blame him for the party's low credibility and argue that the party leadership needs new blood in order to regain public trust. Mr. Jón is perceived as a puppet of Vít Bárta, the head of the party's deputies club, who financed the party's establishment and masterminded its success in the last general elections. Mr. Bárta, who formerly owned the biggest security agency in the country, has been accused of infiltrating business into politics. He is now being tried for corruption. The party's Prague branch also voiced support for the party's three ministers who defied an order from the broad party leadership to resign, saying that to do so would have been a big mistake. The state attorney in the highly publicized trial of Public Affairs Deputy Vít Bárta has proposed a suspended sentence for the politician for trying to buy the loyalty of two former party members with large sums of money. She also proposed a suspended sentence for Jaroslav Škárka, who took the money and failed to report the bribe for some time. Attorney Vrbová said she was proposing suspended sentences in view of the fact that both politicians previously had a clean criminal record. The verdicts in the case are expected to be announced next Friday. The opposition Social Democrats are against the idea of scrapping the ministries of culture and environment, now being discussed by the coalition within broader cost-cutting measures. Party leader Bohuslav Sobotka said scrapping the environment ministry was particularly unacceptable in view of the urgent need to address serious air pollution problems in Moravia and Silesia. The Junior Coalition Party Public Affairs, which has conditioned its continued support for the government on a series of far-reaching demands, has proposed scrapping ministries as a partial alternative to cuts in the social sphere. The Civic Democrats and Public Affairs are now allegedly considering scrapping the ministries of culture, environment and local government. A decision is expected on Tuesday. Former Education Minister Josef Dobes, who resigned from his post late last month citing budget cuts and was promptly employed as an advisor to his successor, has been forced out after a spate of criticism from the media and opposition parties. Mr. Dobes, who came under fire for mismanagement of EU funds and a botched university reform, was reportedly helping his successor complete some of his projects. The ministry is now being temporarily run by his former deputy Ladislav Niemetz. Public Affairs, which holds the education portfolio, is still searching for a suitable successor. Inflation reached 3.9% in March, up from 3.7% in February, the Czech Statistical Office said on Friday. The rise is fuelled primarily by the soaring price of eggs on the Czech market. Egg prices went up by 67% in March. According to analyst Petr Dufek, this is the first time that a single product has directly impacted inflation. Other contributing factors are the price of petrol and cigarettes. Traffic police will be out in force for the long Easter weekend, which traditionally increases road mortality figures. A police spokeswoman said several hundred officers would be put on duty along the country's main roads and highways, with the road safety operation focusing primarily on drink driving and speeding. 18 people died on Czech roads over the Easter weekend last year. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The Easter weekend is expected to be overcast and rainy, with the day temperatures between 4 and 8 degrees Celsius. Nighttime lows may drop below zero and snow showers are expected in the mountain regions. I'm Daniela Lazarova and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, the Czech government may reduce the number of its ministries by 3. We have all the latest business news, and then later on in the program, we hear all about the hot young Prague fashion label, Lida. All that coming up, so do stay with us. Talks between the ruling government coalition Civic Democrats and junior partner Public Affairs on Thursday failed to produce a solution to disputes within the coalition. However, the senior Civic Democrats are considering reducing the number of ministries by 3, one of the conditions posed by Public Affairs, which earlier this week threatened to quit the coalition should its demands not be met. But is the step to merge the culture, environment and regional development ministries with other existing ministries a sensible one? I put the question to political pundit Jiří Pehe.
Personally, I don't think that there is any kind of overriding logic behind this. It is just political move, and I personally don't see how much or what the Czech Republic will save by abolishing 3 ministries or merging 3 ministries, because in the end, the bureaucracies from those 3 ministries will just move to the new ministries, so the money saved will not be really significant.
And in practical terms, what exactly would this entail, and wouldn't you think that some portfolios would suffer if they are merged?
In practical terms, they would simply abolish 3 ministries and move their agendas into the existing ministries, and I personally think this would not solve any of the problems the government is supposedly trying to solve, and that is namely to save money. It would be bad for symbolic reasons, because some of the ministries have their names and identities simply because they represent important areas of social and political life. So, for example, the Ministry of Environment or the Ministry of Culture certainly could exist as departments in other ministries, but they exist as independent ministries simply because society wants to show that these areas are important for it. So I personally think this is not a smart move.
Commentator Julia Hristkova of Hospodářské noviny writes that she believes this is actually Public Affairs' way, or the government's way, to distract attention away from what is really going on in the government that is problematic. How do you see this judgment?
Well, I think that a lot of these cosmetic moves in the current government are just trying to divert attention from really significant problems, such as the inability of the government to use the money offered by the European Union. The Czech Republic will soon be losing probably hundreds of billions of crowns in funds which it is not able to use. And there are some other significant problems at the ministries which actually the government doesn't plan to abolish, such as the Ministry of Social Affairs and Labor and the Ministry of Education. But I think that all of these moves have to be taken for what they are. They are simply attempts to divert the public's attention from really significant problems, and no one who follows politics more deeply should or can consider them to be real reformist moves.
Political pundit Jiří Pehe was commenting there on the latest developments in the Czech government coalition. And of course, if you do have an opinion on the issue, we would very much like to hear it, either by email to english@radio.cz, or you can find us on Facebook, where we have a profile under the name of Radio Prague. And now we will hear all the latest business news when Jan Richter joins me here in the studio.
The Czech Republic's industrial production rose by 4.7% in February after January's revised increase of 3.1%, according to figures released by the Czech Statistical Office on Friday. Compared to the same month last year, industrial production rose by 0.3%, but the extra working day in February due to the leap year was a factor as well. The surge was driven mainly by the automotive industry, which rose by over 15%. The production and distribution of electricity, gas and heat increased by nearly 8%, and electrical machinery and equipment production rose by 12%. However, the construction industry registered the sharpest fall in 2 years, when it decreased by 16% year on year.
Most Czech companies want to hire employees as contractors, suggests a new poll by the Deloitte and Ambrose and Dark consultancies released on Thursday. Some two-thirds of the 107 companies polled said they would like to see the so-called Schwarz system completely legalized, under which firms hire employers as contractors to avoid paying health and social insurance for them. Nearly 70% of them said they wanted a clearer definition of the system to avoid fines by the authorities. New sanctions were introduced in January for companies which use the system, which they say threatens to send them into bankruptcy. The Czech authorities are planning to carry out more than 200,000 inspections to fight the practice.
Saturday shifts at the Czech Republic's biggest carmaker, Škoda Auto, will end due to a labor dispute. The labor unions and the management have not reached a deal concerning a new collective agreement, which no longer applies to Saturday shifts. The unions want a 6% salary increase for the employees, while the firm offers 4.3%. A series of employees' meetings is planned for next week in the firm's three Czech plants to step up the pressure. The unions said they were also considering a warning strike in support of their demands.
The U.S.-Canadian brewing giant Molson Coors bought Starbev, the owner of the Czech brewer Staropramen. The $3.54 billion deal was announced on Wednesday. The Starbev Group also owns breweries in Serbia, Romania, Hungary, and other Eastern European countries. Staropramen is the Czech Republic's second largest beer producer. Molson Coors CEO Peter Swinburne said the acquisition was in line with their strategy of expanding their portfolio, and the beer market in Central and Eastern Europe had a great growth potential. In some countries, however, the deal is yet to be approved by the local anti-monopoly agencies.
Prague's Ruzyně International Airport on Wednesday marked 75 years since the start of operations. The airport was inaugurated with a domestic flight from Piešťany, Zlín and Brno, which landed there on the 5th of April 1937. Since then, the airport has served over 200 million passengers and dispatched more than 4 million flights. Last year, Prague Ruzyně handled nearly 11.8 million travelers, ranking 35th in Europe and first among new EU countries by passenger traffic. Earlier this year, the Czech government agreed to rename the airport in honor of the late President Václav Havel. The change should take effect on Václav Havel's birthday on the 5th of October.
And that was all the business news we had time for this week, brought to you by Jan Richter. Thanks for that, Jan. Now it's time for fashion in this edition of The Arts. More precisely, we learn all about a young, hip and successful Prague-based fashion label, Lida. Not far from the National Theatre, tucked away on Bartolomejská Street, the small flagship store of the fashion label Lida boasts some of the most original, colorful, and hip clothing in the Czech capital. Run by two young designers, Lucie Kutalková and Lucie Trnková, Lida has been putting out its limited edition collections for nearly 7 years. The two designers both studied at the Academy of Arts, Architecture and Design in Prague. Lucie Kutalková explains how the two were given a unique opportunity to establish their own label and retail space.
It was a relatively quick and easy process. A long time ago, I used to work for the original company Lida. They produced outdoor clothes, sleeping bags, winter jackets, clothes for mountain climbers and so on. But even though they produced all of their stuff here in the Czech Republic and it was of good quality and they had their regular customers, it was hard for them to compete with the new companies who produced their stuff in much greater volumes and often had it made abroad.
So they didn't want to give up the company completely. They offered me to take it over with the same name and the same space here in Bartolomějská Street.
A pod tím stejným jménem ve stejném prostoru, což vlastně je tady v Bartolomějské ulici.
Lida produces all of its clothes in the Czech Republic from high-quality materials like silk, cotton, and jersey. The pieces range from simple yet elegant t-shirts to more intricate dresses and unique, nicely tailored pants. It goes without saying that handmade clothes from quality materials will cost more than what your average chain store has on offer. Are Czechs ready to spend a bit extra for special pieces? I put the question to Lucie Kutalková.
Lepší se to, ale furt lidi vlastně nepovažují.
It's getting better, but people still do not consider fashion design real work or real design even. For them, it's still just clothes, and of course the kinds of things we make are a bit more expensive. But they're slowly learning to appreciate quality. We also do tailor-made custom clothes for people, and they have to get used to the fact that if you get something tailor-made or if you buy a piece from a limited edition made from silk, then it's simply going to cost a bit more. I don't think Lida is so expensive. We have some shirts that retail from 1,200 crowns, but also some that start at 400 crowns. But if you're going to buy a silk dress, of which there are maybe two or three and that's it, then that is a whole different dimension. I think people are starting to see that it is hard work, that it is handmade, and that it is in a different league than clothes bought at a chain store.
Něco víc, než co si koupí v těch obchodech všude kolem.
The grey era of communism, which practically wiped out any original fashion design in the country for many decades, certainly has left its mark on the Czech couture scene. I asked Lucie Trnková to describe the current status quo.
Tady to prostě jako všechno tak bylo vlastně přerušený, jakoby veškerý design jako vlastně tím, co se tady jako odehrálo.
Well, more or less anything that had to do with design was interrupted by the communist regime, so it wasn't until after the revolution that it started coming back. I think that it's getting better, that there are plenty of fashion designers who have work to show off. But what we are lacking is the funding. And then there is another big difference. Abroad, young fashion designers have the opportunity to learn from big fashion houses, do traineeships in big fashion studios. Here, because the Prague and the Czech fashion world is so small, designers are more or less on their own, so it is difficult for them. The only Czech company that cooperates with young designers is Pietro Filippi.
Jediná firma vlastně česká, která spolupracuje s českými návrháři, je Pietro Filippi.
Lida has managed to establish itself on a small and difficult market and has been operating successfully for 7 years. While some of the clothes may not be for everyone's figure, the majority of their creations are very wearable. So what is important when it comes to creating great fashion? Lucie Trnková again.
Samozřejmě je důležité, aby to bylo nositelné. Asi důležité, jestli bych si tu věc vzala na sebe já.
Of course, it is important that it is wearable. I ask myself whether I would wear it. Even though you can't just create with yourself and your own proportions in mind, someone might have nicer legs, for example, so we can make a shorter skirt for that kind of customer. Another important element is that we want it to be simple and functional, but have a detail that makes it interesting.
Jednoduchý a funkční, ale jako něčím, nějakým detailem třeba zajímavý.
Most of the Lida designs are for women, but their newest collection, under the motto "I love your boyfriend," incorporates men's fashion into the label. Lucie Kutalková says so many men would come inside the store with their girlfriends and be disappointed that Lida did not have anything for them. After being repeatedly asked why they did not offer any men's fashion, the two designers went ahead and ventured into new territory. The collection was initially based on designs that were sent in by male fashion enthusiasts.
My jsme oslovili pro spolupráci tak přibližně třeba 40 mužů.
We asked some 40 men to collaborate. Men are more aware of what they like to wear and what is missing on the fashion market here. So we asked them to come up with some designs for us, and we chose from those and produced them. And from that men's collection, we came up with a few designs inspired by it for women and also some unisex clothes.
Pánský, něco bylo uni a někdy bylo i pánský i dámský.
In the past, Lida used to do a spring, summer and a fall, winter collection, but they have since decided to adopt a new concept and collections often flow into one another.
We used to do two collections a year, but now we've kind of limited that. We still do two collections a year, but one transitions into the other, so it's not a completely new theme. We figure that it is better to continue a theme and develop it further and use some of the ideas for the fall and winter collection.
A to se dá prostě přehoupnout třeba do podzima, do zimy.
An important element of Lida is the collaboration with professionals from other artistic fields, be it photographers, graphic designers, architects, or filmmakers. The list of collaborators is eclectic, to say the least, and includes names of artists such as rapper Vladimir 518, composer and musician Jan P. Mucho, and graphic designer Olga Benešová. Lida also regularly works together with architect Mirko Neckáš, who designs the changing interiors of the store and is behind the production design of the label's fashion shows. Among the more famous collaborators of the company was the late architect Jan Kaplický. Lucie Kutálková describes the collections her and Lucie Trnková worked on with him.
To byla kolekce Lida Deja Vu a Lida Kaplický, kdy vlastně my jsme...
Those were the collections Lida Deja Vu and Lida Kaplický. The collaboration grew out of the fact that we were making the wedding dress for his wife-to-be, and then he asked us if we didn't want to work together with him, and he had plenty of ideas. So out of that, the first two collections were born, with some of his and some of our designs, and we discussed those together a lot. And then we started working on another collection with some of his ideas, but unfortunately he died before it was completed. We decided to still go ahead and finish the project because we considered it important.
Lida's designers continue to come up with original ways of promoting their label. For example, through short films which feature the company's clothes. One such project was shot in true guerrilla fashion in Berlin in 2006. The two designers traveled there with their photographers, crew, and actors, and filmed at several locations throughout the city without obtaining the proper permits. But it is this playful approach that sets Lida apart from other labels. So what are the designer team's plans for the future of the label?
Máme vlastně za působení vlastně víc než 7 let jsme udělali spoustu zakázek.
We're hoping to photograph all the different made-to-order pieces that we have done because there have been so many and we kind of lost track of them. We have done wedding dresses, company outfits, a whole lot of really interesting custom clothes. So that's something we really want to compile pictures of. And then, of course, our internet store because we get a lot of tourists who come in and ask us about it. Sometimes we send pieces to customers abroad, but it's not the same as if they could just look us up online.
Samozřejmě, jestli je možné koupit na internetu nebo tak.
For now, interested fashion enthusiasts will have to go to the brick-and-mortar store at Bartolomejská 1 in Prague or check out the label's Facebook page, which features a lot of photographs of the interesting creations by Lida. This edition of The Arts was first broadcast in May 2011. And now we are rounding off our regular weekday program with ABC, our popular Czech language learning series brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Radio Prague's Czech teaching program, exploring idioms about farm crops and domestic plants. Today's is the last episode, and as of next week, we'll be looking at wild flora. In today's lesson, we focus on garden flowers and pot plants. A flower in Czech is...
květina.
It is related to the word...
kvést.
To blossom. In metaphorical use, it also means to thrive, to prosper. If you say about someone, especially a girl, that she is
skleníková květinka,
a hothouse plant, it means that she's delicate and touchy. On the other hand,
Děvče jako karafiát.
A girl like a carnation is a healthy, rosy-cheeked young thing.
Být jako růžička.
To be like a rose means to be pretty, healthy and flushed. If somebody blushes too much in an embarrassing situation, we can say
zrudl jako pivoňka.
He turned red like a peony. Or, to use an English idiom, he became red as a beetroot. We can also say a person's face is as red as a poppy.
Rudý jako mák.
Beautiful, long and blonde hair can be compared to flax.
Vlasy jako len.
Flaxen hair. The white lily is a symbol of innocence in many cultures around the world. The Czechs, too, say
nevinný jako lilie.
As innocent as a lily. The lily is also a delicate flower which wanes quickly.
Zvadnout jako lilie.
Is to wilt like a lily. The English language uses the expression a bed of roses, meaning a pleasant or easy situation. The idiom was coined by the 16th century poet Christopher Marlowe in his poem The Passionate Shepherd to His Love. I don't know how and when the expression got into Czech and whether it was borrowed from English at all. Anyway, the Czech idiom goes
mít na růžích ustláno.
To have a bed made of roses. Back to the generic word
květina.
There is a saying in Czech
ženu ani květinou neuhodíš.
You must not hit a woman, even with a flower. And finally, Czech has a similar idiom to the gloomy English expression to push up daisies. The Czech saying goes
čuchat kytky ze spoda.
To smell at flowers from underneath, meaning to be dead and buried. And on that murky note, we'd better end today's lesson. We'll be back next week with a brand new short series on idioms about wild plants. Until then,
naschledanou!
Pavla Horáková with ABC wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. And of course, all our programs are available at our internet address radio.cz. And if you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them either on Facebook or you can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12-12099 Prague 2. We also have a Twitter account where you can follow us. So make sure to check that out. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.